In the border areas with Hungary and with Croatia, where my organization works every day, the refugees staying there are either in registered collective centers, refugee centers run by the government, or staying in abandoned buildings, in shelters, living on their own, basically. There is a big difference between these two groups. Of course, the group living on their own in abandoned buildings and things like that has many more needs. Of course, all these local communities, these small towns and villages, which are now hosting basically thousands, hundreds or thousands, it depends on the area, of refugees. Of course, they are facing challenges. The local population is concerned about this big change in their lives. The fear is present, of course. People do not know what to expect, and that's how the fear is actually, you know. Luckily enough, we don't have any incident, any violence committed from the side of the local population towards the refugees. Also, nothing similar happened in the opposite direction. There were no incidents from the sides of the migrants or refugees towards the local population. Maybe one of the most important things that sort of enabled this tolerance between the groups is the official stand of the government of Serbia, which was quite welcoming, especially in comparison with the neighboring countries, especially Hungary, because the overall attitude of the Serbian officials was that we are going to welcome the refugees, we will not do anything restrictive towards them, we will provide them assistance that they need. So this official rhetorics stayed the same, and I would say it's very positive. I think it's too soon to talk of any kind of integration here. We don't consider this as an option still. Refugees do not consider it as an option. We see this closing of the borders as something that is sort of inevitable. We see that the chances of all the refugees who are now in Serbia are getting less and less for them to ever legally enter the EU. And we see that probably soon we are going to have to start thinking about something else for these people. But right now, I think for refugees first, this is not an option. No, almost no one, when you speak to them, no one wants to stay in Serbia. I don't expect any violent crash. I expect that the time will do its own work. Now I'm referring a bit to my own refugee experience. You have some plans as a refugee. You would like to go back, for example. And then you realize that 5 years has passed and that you don't really want to go back anymore, even when the conditions change and you can go back. So time is one important factor. And usually, you know, whenever there is a refugee crisis, people talk about returning back, you know, after the war is over, things like that. But what is happening also is that people are simply there, they get used to the life they have in a new country, and then they simply, you know, decide to stay there. Options for these people, in my opinion, is that we should really consider options for local integration. But it's too soon to talk about that.
What do you expect from the EU?
Nothing really. I don't expect nothing much more than what we are already receiving. The support to the refugees in Serbia is really very important. I don't think that our government could do it on their own. I guess the conditions would be much worse than if it wasn't for the EU support, financial support. But regarding the destinies of the refugees, I think the answer is pretty much obvious. Somehow I tend to see the fence built on the Hungarian border and the new fences being built and the new laws being brought in Hungary, which are more and more restrictive towards any. They have like several layers of fence, and it's a very, you have seen the fence. The fence is scary to look at. I have also read the news that they intend to also have electricity, current in this wire fence. So all this is a very clear message. You cannot pass this border. Behind this border, there is an EU, and the EU does not want any of you anymore. So the message is quite clear. When I say I don't expect nothing more, I expect that the EU simply waits for the refugees to get the message and not try anymore. We are warning them, telling them not to cross, because if they try illegally, they get beaten by the Hungarian police. They come back with wounds and visible injuries, and then they try again and again. And what we have seen is that they are very desperate people, at least those who are the most stubborn ones and the most determined ones to do this, no matter what it takes. And, you know, when you see desperate people who do not have much to lose, then it's in vain to advise them not to risk their health, not to risk their lives even. Many of them have died trying to cross. The translator issue is a big one. I mean, Serbia, you know, as a small country, was not really ever prepared to welcome and to host refugees from these faraway exotic countries. I think this scenario was not expected. In the entire Serbia, I think only Belgrade University has studies of these languages, and you can, you know, reach only, let's say, 5 or 6 or I don't know how many translators. Refugees themselves helped a lot with translating. So we are kind of improvising because we don't have resources. It's just sometimes you completely lack human resources that you need for this refugee crisis. It's not like we have been, you know, trained and prepared for all this. We had to improvise a lot.
And then it seems the civil society organizations are really struggling against the state here also. Is that a right observation?
The NGO sector in Serbia is rather young. It started only in the 1990s. We used to have, before the socialist time, I would say, we used to have this tradition of, but not as developed as, let's say, in Germany, not at all. There are several local Serbian NGOs who have managed to develop very well in the last, let's say, 20 years, 20 or more, even more. But there was a mixture of international NGOs. Many international NGOs came in Serbia, especially in 2015, end of 2015, when the Balkan route was wide open and thousands of people were simply running through the country. It was a bit, how shall I say, maybe even a bit too much, you know, for the governmental side to manage, to coordinate, to organize, to everything. Yeah. In 2015, I remember August, September, that was the time when everything sort of exploded. The Balkan route was open. Many people were rushing through Serbia. Serbia is a small country. You need only one day to both enter the country in the south and to exit the country in the north. They went through the short procedure of registration. And then with these papers, which were obligatory, they could not go any further without it. They would go to a bus, jump on a bus, yes, and the buses would take them from the very south to the very, well, northwest of Serbia. It was possible through collaboration with Croatia. Croatia then organized trains to come to Šid to pick them up. So Croatian trains with Croatian policemen and everything would enter Serbia. And then all the people coming with the buses would go in the train and then through Croatia to Slovenia, Austria, and further on. And everything functioned well because the gates were open. That changed very suddenly overnight. That changed in March 2016. Suddenly there was a stop. A couple of buses came and we heard that no train arrived from Croatia on that morning. No train. That happened when there was this EU-Turkey deal signed. Everything happened very quickly. And then they started to cry and scream, and it was a big shock for them. All of them, I think, were able to continue their journey later on. Well, we also have our right-wing parties and right-wing politicians. They are present in public. You can hear their opinions, which are, of course, they are also against the migrants and against us actually letting them in the country. But they are not dominant, I would say. It's not like Serbia is letting anybody in. We also now have increased border patrols and our own border police and together with the border police of the EU countries, which are helping our police, they are patrolling over the borders and controlling the inflow. But still, people are coming in Serbia. They are still arriving, either through Macedonia or through Bulgaria, some even through Albania and Kosovo. They are finding the ways. Smugglers are the ones profiting the most.
How many in numbers can Serbia support?
Serbia said that Serbia will support up to 6,000 altogether. That was the projected number of beds in shelters, in reception centers. Right now we have 6,700 in reception centers. So we have 700 more in reception centers, and altogether we have 7,000 and 800, almost 8,000 in Serbia.
And the same number is expected this year.
The same number is expected, projected. In reality, we have more people already. People here are always concerned when we, for example, discuss these things in, let's say, social networks. People usually ask us, what does it cost us, you know, that we are taking care of refugees? Right now, it costs nothing. Serbian citizens are not paying right now for the cost of refugees. The EU is covering all the costs. And this is what the minister is telling to the public. That's why I'm actually quoting him. He says, you should not worry. EU is covering, everything is covered for the refugees. So it's not, they're not a burden to our budget. Once that this changes, then we can really expect a crisis, because Serbia is a, you know, a country with limited resources, high unemployment rate. It's also a question, you know, whether the refugees could integrate easily in a country which is poor. The talk, serious talk about local integration here, only started like 10 years after the wars ended.
The Balkan Wars,
yes. So we had to have some time, you know, before we realized that local integration is the option. We started talking about that when I think many people have already integrated. So that's also my personal opinion. Before that, many of the programs were oriented towards return, because the war was ended and then people were expected to return. These refugees right now, I also think that at some point we will start talking about integration. I think, you know, for some topics, it's too early to talk about them right now.